This show is very not safe for work. The works being read do not represent the views of the hosts or guests. This show is a roast and should not be taken seriously.
Your magical cock is having a divine interaction in his anus.
His skin's misted in sweat by the time Steve wraps his finger around Bucky's cock and strokes him in time with his thrusts. They stare into each other's eyes, one the milky, the other the milker. The year is 2015. The world is once again engulfed in darkness. It has been 100 years since the last appearance of the Castle of Fanfiction, and as the full moon rises over this accursed land, a vast silhouette of towers and spires materializes, its form spreading to the far horizon. Every harbinger of good begins to feel empty inside, while the forces of evil grow ever more in strength. The Castle of Fanfiction, a sprawling mass of stone housing the worst horrors mankind can imagine and beyond. For every time the castle has appeared, the Nighthorse clan has also come forward to send it back to the void. Within these walls, the powers of the light will challenge hell's greatest creations. Will our brave warriors, Valerie, Logan, David, and Steve-O, hold the candle of humanity aloft after the battle? Or will the flame be snuffed out by the terrors within? The only sure thing about this encounter is that it is a Friday. Friday night fan fiction.
You should be in what situation in the current wrestling scenes and whatnot. So I want to kind of put you into that head writing spot. Okay. And then have you like drama checked by Eric Birdwell?
This doesn't sound this does not sound like a typical pitch to a Hollywood studio.
No. I will definitely talk to my sponsors and I will review this. And
screenwriters don't have sponsors.
I have sponsors. Yeah, I was gonna say, I'm cool.
Who's sponsoring you?
It's like Tony Hawk or the X Games or anything like that. You are
I will talk to you.
Dude, that was sick. 1080 Tony Hawk will give me my money that I need to make this work.
You're
he's not doing anything else with it. At least anything worthwhile.
You are John Turturro in Barton Fink.
Okay, now we were gonna read more of.
We are. Is it going to read more?
I already love you. No, instead we will read the entire script of Sausage Party tonight.
No! Hell no! Number one, our show will get shut down. Number two, no!
I wanna.
You can read it on your own time. You can read it on your own time on the shitter if you want to. That is not what
I
we
really,
do!
Really, like, everyone I've talked to about that film has said, this is the stupidest looking thing I have ever seen. And
I thought it was a joke!
It seemed like something they would have put out on a Saturday Night Live, like kid show sketch.
I will say I have seen stupider, but not by much. Like this isn't that lower threshold where you've got the top of the barrel, the middle area, the bottom of the barrel, the disgusting area underneath the barrel. This is about 12 feet underneath that area.
This is that pipe that the Spear and Twister anchored themselves to keep the F5 from eating them.
Speaking of eating, I have black cracked pepper Triscuit.
You know, this is 12 feet under the barrel where Andy Dufresne is currently tunneling out of Shawshank through a tunnel of shit. There.
This is so far under the barrel that currently the chuds are amassing.
In order for him to leave Shawshank, he had to crawl through 12 miles of shit and read the script to a terrible, terrible film.
This is Friday night.
I don't know how Red did it.
This is Friday Night Screenwriters, where we get together
welcome
to discuss
the screenwriting show, kids. I'm your lead host, Chodemeister, and I'm joined here by Steb Les, Laserbeak, and Rock Rhyme.
Jesus, is this some ripoff of the fucking Chop Shop?
Nah, listen, dude. I don't go by Rock Rhyme no longer. I'm Tony the Tank. Tony the Tank.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Tony the Tank. Tony the Tank is no longer Rock Rhyme. Make sure you put it in your scripts, kids.
I heard Tony the Taint.
Of course you heard that, motherfucker, because that's what I fucking said.
Wow.
Yeah, anyway. He's Laserbeak from fucking Transformers.
Laser beak.
All right, well, can we get started? We're on page 128 out of 152 here. I think we also hi Tony.
Hi.
I'm a special kind of guest.
Host of the Tony Baldini Show and the Tony Baldini Network.
Where's your conjoined twin Trench? Because without him here, I was gonna say without him here, David cannot get your names mixed up and have him get frustrated at it.
You would think that, wouldn't you?
Hi, Trench.
Fuck you.
I'm so funny.
Also, Trench unfortunately has the sickness of the throat and will not be joining us this evening. So instead, you're stuck with me doing a remarkable Trench impression. I'm doing it now. How do I sound? How do I sound?
Wait,
why does Trench sound like Steve-O's mom?
Well,
that's
because Steve-O's mother is Woody Allen.
Okay, well, I'm messaging him right now. Matt, if you are up to it, I want to set you up with text-to-speech for being on the show tonight.
Oh, God, no, why?
Yes! Yes!
with special guest Stephen Hawking.
Hello. Hello.
Well, you know that,
my name's not Tony.
Discord actually has a text-to-speech integrated into it.
Okay, but...
Okay, I see that working for, like, maybe a sentence. That's gonna get real nasty after, like, seven paragraphs.
Just like the air horns. All right. I am gonna start us off tonight. Is it pretending?
We tried that with Devin one time in an old episode of OCAD. It was great, but you know.
But that was back when his computer was made out of lollipop sticks and duct tape.
I thought it was made out of graham crackers.
Well, I mean, it was made out of graham crackers, then he had a mouse infestation, then it was made out of lollipop sticks and duct tape.
I've listened to those old episodes.
Sunshine, lollipops, and rainbow.
Crackers.
Can I start now?
No.
We're together.
He used to make them make his computer out of crackers, but he would eat it all the time on the show, so...
I'm going to see if you can make a computer out of pizza.
And now, Steve.
Pizza computer. Oh, somebody made a computer case out of a Little Caesars hot and ready box.
I fucking set you up to just go and you waste it on
I
Little Caesars computer
it.
Box.
It's what I do. Thank you.
Yeah. You're not welcome.
Oh, even worse, somebody made a functional computer case out of an empty container of Miller Genuine Draft. Ugh.
Okay, read though.
Okay, thank you. Page 128.
Can we have the link in the chat?
Yeah, I already linked it.
There already is one.
Like three times.
Oh, there we go.
There.
There. No, you didn't do it.
There,
three times.
I did it again. And just for good measure, I did it again.
Thank you,
Steve. What are you drinking?
I linked it again.
I'm drinking a Diet Coke.
Okay, that's lame. Tony, what are you drinking tonight?
I am drinking absolutely nothing. I have work in the morning.
Whoa. Logan, what are you drinking tonight?
I'm gonna go grab my, like, oversized bottle of, blue carousel, whatever the fuck it's called.
Okay.
That's you said it right.
Choice.
That's pronounceable.
Val, what are you drinking tonight?
Since I cannot have alcohol, I have, a mix of sparkling water and orange pineapple juice. And then I'm eating Triscuits.
All right. And I am drinking pie hole cherry pie flavored whiskey.
Ooh.
That sounds actually delightful. Pretty
good. Sorry, I was mistaken. It's hypnotic.
Okay. Oh.
Oh, that's hypnotic good too.
I'm going to take a picture of it because it's huge.
All right. I have the best five words to start off my page. This is amazing. They're stretching.
Oh, nope.
Then there's
I read
burning.
Ahead and I regret.
Steve's much bigger than anyone else Bucky was ever with before, so the first few inches have tears prickling the corners of his eyes, and a pain...
Tears!
Oh, God,
it's
his tears!
Gross. He's tearing me apart, Steve-O!
His eyes are not tearing, they're tearing.
Are you sure that we're here?
It's spelled the same.
Yeah.
You know what? We're the ones.
But corners of his eyes don't tear.
Unless you're doing something very wrong.
Have you ever seen Captain America rip apart the Red Skull? QED. Quit everything and get dunked.
MGD.
The Red Skull doesn't have eyes.
All right, can I finish talking about his rectal tears now?
Red Skull definitely has eyes.
He has eyes in his anus, yes. Have tears prickling the corners of his eyes and a pained nose making his throat clench. Immediately, Steve stops. Oh, wait, I'm supposed to read this entire week as Scruffy the Janitor. Hold on.
What?
Immediately, Steve stops. Kisses his face more, even though Bucky's mouth is frozen open and he can't kiss back. It's overwhelming, both the discomfort and the need for more. As soon as it stops stinging so bad, he's swallowing a large gulp of air and touching his forehead to Steve's cheek, using his hands to press down on Steve's ass. He signals, fuck!
Frank, Steve, why did you laugh at your ass?
I wasn't laughing at...
Steve, why do you laugh at your ass?
My eyes glitched and I thought he was about to say he signals his ass.
Why did you signal your ass?
I don't. Can I? Fuck.
Can I fuck? I guess I don't know. He's
cracking up.
Yes! Hot rule 63 of Scruffy!
He signals that it's okay to keep going. They have to follow the system twice more before Steve's completely buried within him. Something in Bucky snaps as soon as he feels Steve's hips pressing against him. Pride floods him. He did it. He was able to take him, but also something he can't process. Psychologically, everything within Bucky flies into overload. It's finally having let someone inside of him like this. But more than that, the fact that it's Steve. There's still some pain, but he remembers how incredible it feels to be so full. It's knowing that he's let himself open up and allowed someone else to see this side of him. The rectal side. It's fear and love and loathing in Las Vegas.
In Las Vegas.
And falling and flying and loathing in Las Vegas. And he and Steve are one fucking person right now. And his heart bursts. Steve hasn't even had the chance to move yet. And Bucky already begins to cry.
Oh,
Scruffy's crying too. If it were anyone else, they'd probably stop at this point, maybe freak out at Bucky's reaction. But Steve gets it. He can only imagine what this moment must mean to Bucky. You know, having his entire cock inside of him. So he doesn't pull out, nor does he ask if Bucky's okay. Instead, he holds the side of Bucky's face in one hand and kisses him. Kisses away the tears, the doubts, the thank you that Bucky wants to give him but can't voice.
Oh my god, I forgot it's the part with the healing magic dick.
He starts to rock against him, keeping things shallow and letting Bucky adjust, and it's amazing.
Steady rocking all night long.
Steve feels so fucking amazing. Nothing's more elevating than when he's able to really move, though. That's what he feel. Fuck.
That's what he what?
Steve, your voice is going to be destroyed tomorrow.
This is actually not as hard on my voice as some other impersonations. It's actually kind of nice. Yeah.
The Scruffy voice actually does not require that much.
No, it's like low register, bottom of your diaphragm rumbling.
Your vocal cords. It's actually pretty natural of a sound.
Now, he might wind up hyperventilating because hitting that lower register, you generally got to force more air out to get it to come out.
Hey, yeah. Guys. Maybe you could let Scruffy continue his section. Thanks.
Go ahead, Captain Janitor Britches.
Yeah.
Janitor Britches.
Janitor Britches.
That's
Janitor Britches.
Janitor Britches.
That's what feels the best.
Janitor Britches.
Besides being in janitor britches, being oversensitive and completely aware of every single inch sliding out of him and then taking over him again.
That doesn't have anything to do with oversensitivity. That's just the inside of your asshole, dude.
It's having that stretch constantly lingering in the background the entire time and forgetting.
I don't think it's the background. Well, no, wait. It is in the background. It is in the back.
It's the goatsy set to the background on your stepdad's computer.
Oh, God.
And forgetting who he is because right now he's an extension of Steve's body. Something like a glove. It's rediscovering what he sounds like when he's on his back like this. Every moan or cry coming out wobbly and defenseless. It's feeling susceptible to hurt by Johnny Cash covering 9-inch nails. And and somehow knowing that Steve won't let that happen.
I thought that song was called Dirt.
No, it's Hurt.
Dirt. No, it should be called Dirt, though.
Dirt.
He talks about his empire of dirt.
If dirt rimes with dirt. Hurt. Don't your make Bucky dirt. Get upset.
It's too probably late. The best cover ever.
Too late, that man was born upset.
Buck, Steve will exhale from time to time. As
he
they
was waiting
move.
To exhale, starring Whitney Houston.
As they move.
And no!
We'll always love you.
Water bucket.
As they move together and Bucky is gradually able to grip Steve's ass and help him rock him back and forth. Crap. Even when the desire to speed up makes Bucky feel like he's going to go crazy, Steve keeps it slow and steady. Bucky's thankful for it. Steve knows best right now. Knows what
you?
Bucky needs. Yes, he does.
Give him what he needs, Buck.
Knows that in turn he'll get what he needs, too. Every time he hears his name in that beautiful, breathless way, he'll whimper and capture Steve's lips again.
Good one.
He doesn't think he manages to get even one coherent word out the entire time.
So the entire time he's like...
Oh,
he's speaking in tongues. He's an evangelist. Your magical cock is having a divine interaction in his anus.
His skin's misted in sweat by the time Steve wraps his finger around Bucky's cock and strokes him in time with his thrusts. They stare into each other's eyes, one the milky, the other the milker.
I'm sorry.
Does it actually say that?
No.
That's even better.
They might have.
Bucky's still Bucky's shining gone. Around the corners, though he is not crying anymore. He stopped listening to AFI and the used.
No.
His brows are creased tightly in the center and his moans have died down.
He's now listening to Fallout Boy.
Yeah.
Dance, dance. Your cock is a Bucky's fine ass. Dance, dance.
Cock dance. There you go.
The world doesn't exist anymore. It's only them. Only they exist. And Bucky trusts him so fucking much. And the only sounds that fill the room are the soft creaking of the bed and their heavy panting.
Squeak, squeak!
Squeak, squeak! Squeak. And meanwhile, throughout all of it, you hear... I'm just yabbing, 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 yabbing.
That's all, Buck.
Tony, it's your turn. You're on page 129.
Oh, God.
He's got Steve on him, and Steve in him, and Steve in his lungs, and in his fucking veins! And Bucky will never deserve him, but he wants to. It feels too good the way Steve's dick constantly embarrasses him and teases his overstimulated rim with every little movement. It's been the better half of 45 minutes at least, and it still feels like it's over far too soon when he feels himself stiffen painfully in Steve's hand. He makes sure he doesn't close his eyes when his orgasm hits him.
Oh, that's so fucking weird. Ugh.
This moment belongs to them and his wide-eyed stare, and he doesn't want Steve to forget it.
Weird? That is so fucking weird.
What's so weird?
That he's keeping his eyes open with the climax, like he's having someone stare you down like that. I was like, ooh.
Could you imagine looking into the eyes of Raiden, the lightning god from the Mortal Kombat movie, as you ejaculate into his anus?
Yes, I can and have imagined that.
What?
Steve, their private times are not about death, but life.
So now I need to try and read as Christopher Lambert.
Okay.
There's so much he needs Steve to understand. And Bucky hopes this will give him an idea. With a helpless sound, he begins to come between their stomachs. And Steve looks absolutely mesmerized by him. Hand continuing to wring Bucky's cock and strip his pleasure to the surface.
Yeah, that completely went to something different.
It's okay.
Steve!
Bucky whines brokenly.
Just as the ecstasy coursing throughout his body hits him a second, even stronger time, it's the first and only thing he's been able to say in an hour. Steve's mouth twitches at the sound. Letting go of Bucky's cock, he grips onto him tightly and finally picks up his speed. Bucky's mouth falls further open at the sudden shift in sensation.
Sudden shift.
That's quite a...
Tony, are you trying to do Dr. Orpheus?
I am not.
Well, you should. It's pretty good.
He's still riding out his climax! And now, Steve's practically drilling his ass as he gets closer to his own end! Bucky's legs are wrapped around the small of his back. Fingertips are digging between Steve's shoulder blades.
Sorry, Mal. Pepper didn't mean to scare you there.
Boys!
Cling!
Maybe you can read this as Scooby-Roo!
I will do my reading as Scooby-Doo.
Okay.
Like, I don't know if that's a good idea, Steve.
Oh, God.
However, I will try and do my best. Shaggy, yoinks. He clings to him. No, that's not going to work. He tries to tilt his hips up
to meet some of his thrusts. It hurts again. But fuck, it's so deep. And Bucky sobs out a cry. Every time he's filled, until he finds himself biting down on Steve's shoulder.
Oh, I was really hoping you would say ice cream sandwich.
I was also kind of hoping for that. Now I really want an ice cream sandwich.
He hears Steve gasp of Neapolitan ice cream sandwiches in the other room, filled with strawberry, chocolate, and a thick, white, creamy vanilla.
Oh, yes.
Filled.
Finally, something for the ladies.
With Steve's gasp at the sudden pain, but that seems to tip him over the edge. Moments later, he's moaning uncontrollably next to Bucky's ear and pumping him full of so much cum that Bucky's already leaking with it before Steve's even finish
him.
Bucky's having trouble catching his breath with Steve slumped against him like this, but he doesn't want him to move. He doesn't want him to pull out. He doesn't want to be two separate people again just yet. He wants Steve to stay in him forever so he can hold on to this feeling.
And God, what a needy bitch.
I'm always tempted to continue singing fucking Lifehouse Hanging by a Moment whenever he talks about this shit.
I'm hanging by a moment
with you. I'm dripping all of my tasty man goo.
You really stretched
that out your butt crack right now with all this talk of milking your my cow.
My goodness.
Steve shaking in his arms and continuing to gasp long after it's over, but he lets Bucky turn his face and kiss away whatever air he has left in his lungs anyways. One that becomes so much that Bucky actually feels like he could black out if they don't stop. Then, and only then, does he let his head fall back to the pillow. Can't breathe, he says. Steve blinks, concern flashing in his perfect blue eyes. But when he makes the withdrawal from him, Bucky doesn't let go. Yeah, Dan, just
keep pushing your cock forward. Eventually it will come out of my mouth and I'll be able to breathe again.
Okay.
That's only how it works in anime porn, Steve.
This is basically anime porn.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. He pushes himself up enough that Bucky can finally take a deep breath. Scanning his face worriedly, he asks,
better?
Bucky nods.
Yeah.
Keep going with that.
You okay?
No.
You okay?
No.
You okay, honey?
No. We've done that joke like 19 times. Doesn't matter.
Steve asks, pushing Bucky's stringy bangs from his forehead.
Yeah.
He whispers again. Yes. It feels perfect.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank
for trusting
you
me enough to do.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Steve says.
It's like some hybrid of a southerner Russian.
No, it's like a southern or Russian Simon Says.
Okay.
Felt Ando, Bucky murmurs. Voice, ours. Yeah.
All right, next up is David, and if he doesn't have a voice planned, I would like to hear the drunk Russian from Armageddon.
So Peter Stormare?
Peter Stormare, yes. Any Peter Stormare works.
Peter Stormare isn't Russian.
No, but that's who he was in Armageddon. And he's almost always typecast as being a Russian.
He's not Russian.
I know he's not. Shut up!
Well, P31, right?
Or 131 P30.
Or 130.
Oh, I was close.
Make it too easy, Steve.
No, I don't! My butt. I don't make it easy. My butt is not Bucky's.
I love you, Steve. Bucky tails him. He reaches up with trembling hand and runs his fingers through Steve's hair before trailing them down the side of his face and holding it. Steve turns his face to Bucky's palm and kisses the center.
I know you don't want to do it. I know you do, Buck.
Can you go back?
I don't want you to pull out yet. Yeah.
She admits.
You think we could just, for a little bit?
Sure, we could play Transformers for a little bit.
Of course, baby. Of course, baby.
He just threw up a little bit on him.
They stay that way for a while, kissing and whispering between each other, eventually smiling too. Bucky feels a lot more relaxed and leaps and bounds calmer than earlier. Though it's a fucking tragedy.
What?
It's fine.
The worst Peter Stormare I've ever heard.
He's
whatever, man. It's a generic Russian guy. It's almost Drago.
Well, the thing is, you just have to respect the fact that my cousin David is doing a marvelous job hiding just how much it sounds like Peter Stormare for the purpose of this particular impression.
Exactly.
Because otherwise people would be knocking down his door. Just knock, knock, knock. Be Peter Stormare, cousin! And he cannot deal with that, no.
He's not Russian!
Hey, Tony! This is your cousin! You want to go bowling?
Yes, it's me, your other cousin.
Let's go see Big American Titties.
Big American Titties.
No, you're going to see two American jockey boys having butt sex.
Oh.
Oh, that's almost as good. That's
almost
as good. Just like that game.
Look, you said that you wanted to be reminded of old country, so you're going to see some milking action.
This is just like that game. This is just like that game, the GTA 4, with the death of the American dream.
Yes, I've murdered people, sold people, stole people, and then the people, and they peopled.
I would say go ahead and continue on with your reading.
Okay, I read now. Here we go. Much needed cigarette. We ain't there yet. Of course, baby, but he does the same. Okay. Bucky feels a lot more relaxed and leaps and bounds calmer than earlier. Though it's a fucking tragedy, he eventually lets Steve off of him so Steve can grab the towel and clean up with. He is covered in sheets. Just mounds of it. Oh my god.
What?
He submissively puts on over Steve's cock.
What?
What? It's a non-smoking room, but Bucky breaks the rules. What a rebel. Am I right, ladies?
Mm-hmm.
Breaks the rules by sticking his head out the window and burning through the much-needed cigarette while Steve brushes his teeth, probably to get all of that shit off of his teeth. Afterwards, Bucky does the same. He had shit on his teeth, too. He doesn't know how. On his way back towards the bed, Steve peers over at him from his spot already beneath the covers and smiles. You're so gorgeous.
And full of shit.
Dropping his head in the hand. Speak for yourself, Bucky replies, kneeling by their bag to grab his phone charger.
Time for best looking. He says so.
He chuckles. Steve pushes himself into a seating position. Hey, would you mind grabbing something from my jacket?
Why are you doing Borat now?
I don't know.
That's nice.
Oh yeah, sure. Picking up the strewn coat from the floor, he looks for Steve for further instructions. He's told to grab what's the inner brace pocket on the left-hand side.
Oh no, he's giving his instructions in IKEA speak.
But only on the left-hand side. Yeah, that's the creep side.
Pass the dookie.
Curiosity gets the better of him, and spikes even more when his fingers touch something that makes a crinkly sound. Kind of like my mother from Ukraine.
Wait, is your mother a mummy?
No, from Ukraine.
Ukraine.
Ukrainian mummy, the very popular.
They sit there and instead of, you know, coming in wrap, they wrap themselves in something else. That was a better joke.
They wrap it up in there. It's very good. Good for the state.
Was a better joke before it started.
Yes.
Yes, yes, indeed. See, metaphor for communism. You have two mummies and the state takes both of them. Gives it to a guy without mummies. When he puts the item out of the jacket, he gets a look at it. He laughs.
A ring fob?
He asks with amusement, crawling into bed with it on hand. In hand. I got to drink. What's this whiskey? That's not potato water.
Wow.
Wow.
Moving right along.
He's still drinking.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, what about Belarus?
Belarus is covered in nuclear waste, fallout from Chernobyl. Four eyes. Good breeding stock.
What?
Good breeding stock.
I want that to be the episode title, but it's not good enough.
Just keep going, okay, Dave.
Okay. The only two and two you can put together is that it must be for him. A few years back, Bucky had a 4 or 5 month period where he was obsessed with him. Constantly had his index finger hooked in the loop of one or sticking out of his mouth. He liked to have baby look. Strawberry kind was his favorite. And sure enough, Steve gets brownie points for having remembered that also. Steve smiles his way, watching Bucky tear open the packaging and eagerly pulling the candy out.
They just grab this afternoon at the grocery store.
He explains.
I was gonna give it to you earlier before I sat way down.
Bucky looks from it to Steve, arcing an eyebrow.
Why did you just give it to me when we left the store? I mean, what's the big deal about it? Well,
Steve bites his lip, looking like he's thinking hard. Still smiling, he gestures to it and says,
"It's more about what it represents. And this represents what exactly?"
Lots of dots, P131, Steve's turn.
All right, sorry, I have to address this. Somebody said in the chat, you're an adult, in what worlds are ring pops okay to eat when you're adult? There is never a bad time to eat a fucking ring pop.
I can think of a lot of bad times. Oh my God.
Steve, all right, Judy has already pointed out a plot hole in this, and she's only half listening. they just brushed their teeth. You know how fucking awful that's going to taste after they've brushed their teeth?
Totally. Even more if it's orange flavored.
Now, to top off of that, it is not good to eat a ring pop as an adult, because no matter how you try to, and I don't mean this with any disrespect, you will look 100% gay. Like, man, woman.
They're gay.
100%
gay. They are gay. Okay. That's the point.
Look, I understand that, and I don't mean any disrespect. I'm just saying that if they're trying to hide this from the angry guy who does all of the bad things in life,
I feel like, at this point, they're done.
Gay people are bad. Well, then they really don't want to eat a ring pop now, do they?
Doesn't
no,
matter.
No one actually wants to eat a ring
pop. I like ring pops. You can shut the fuck up.
That's like one of those Fun Dip things. Like, who wants to eat that? That's
like an extra step too. Fuck game. You!
No, that's like fucking awful, shit, dude.
I mean, I'm not
Tonight
going to...
Tonight we hate on Steve.
Yeah, I love this night.
I'm jumping in to support him.
Thank you! Tony, my wonder bra.
I get both ring pops and Fun Dip. Even though I do also recognize that Fun Dip is fundamentally flawed because you are adding an extra step to consuming sugar.
Eh, depends on how but you eat it. You fun. Can just it's eat the novelty. Sticks and then swallow the sugar.
No, it's not fun. It's only half of what it is. It's dip. That's it. It's not fun. You don't have fun. You're like, wee! I just stopped this thing into powder.
Maybe this is what's wrong with America today. Our generation doesn't feel like it has the ability to earn anything. It has to be given to us on a silver platter.
Steve,
I'm not
Steve,
saying
your
you have
beard
to
is gone Republican.
Just like the extra wrapper, just like the extra wrapper on the goddamn Reese's cup. Why do
Reese's,
I have to do that?
Motherfucker. It is not Reese's. Well, Reese's, it is Reese's.
I'm not debating that Reese's aren't good.
Reese's.
I'm
debating the name Reese.
Whatever.
Who the fuck is Reese? It's like saying karma.
Yeah, I say Reese.
No, you know why it's not.
I say abortion.
I will tell you exactly why you don't. Why it's called Reese's, not Reese's. Reese is a name. There is an apostrophe at the end of the fucking name for the S. It is Reese's. Not to mention the phonetic similarity between Reese's and Pieces, hence the rhyme in the candy.
You guys pronounce Cadbury very funnily.
Yeah, but Tony, listen to this. Reese's Pieces.
Can you?
Don't eat a fucking fire.
All right, I'm calling it now. It's time to read. Can we continue?
No, we have to continue fighting
about
it. Look. All right, I'm hijacking the podcast. The podcast is now Candy. Do you like it? YN.
Yeah, it's good.
It
I like
is about
it.
To get candy crushed.
I like it. It's good.
Oh, dude, I like that. That's a good title. It's got resonance with the
Just
kids.
Read!
Don't call it Candy Crusher.
All right, I'm good.
That was a magic moment we all just had.
Yes!
Yeah, almost as magical as Fun Dip and Ring Pops!
Fun Dip, not magical.
Steve, we just got off the fucking topic. Why you gotta bring it back?
Wait, who's on first?
Hey, he brought it back, not me. He's the one who wants to leave this wound open.
Whoever was after Dave.
Who's after Dave?
Wait, Dave, Dave's not done yet. He didn't finish.
Yes, he did.
I got to the fucking 131. You can't tell me I didn't do it. I got to 100 more flavors than Baskin Robbins has.
No, you know what? Hold on.
Ring popos.
Read your last line.
No.
What?
That's not part of it.
No, you added that. You had to have added that in.
All right, next up is Val.
No, put it back. Okay. I want to read it. Put it back. Right. I want to read it. Ring pops are terrible. Steve-O 2016. Ow, I'm out.
All right, next up is Val.
Oh my goodness, I get to read?
Wow. Yeah, because Matt's not here.
Who's Matt? Magical
little Who's Matt?
French!
Nobody knows who Matt is.
I know who Matt is. I like Matt. Things. Don't be mean to Matt.
I don't know who Matt
That's
is.
Cool.
Matt is.
I know who Trench is. I don't know who Matt is.
Yeah.
They all have like four Matt to hang out with.
All right, Val, go ahead.
All right. All right.
Oh my god, come on!
You can do it, Steve. I believe in you.
All right.
She's not Steve.
All right.
You can do it, Steve's wife. I believe in you.
All right. You can do it, not Steve. I believe in Jews.
I believe in.
She could read too if she wanted, but she doesn't want to read. The story is awful.
Oh my god.
Yes. Read.
Yes. Okay.
It's a short interview.
Oh Here.
God. No, no. Dugekins is Logan.
Let her read!
Steve, you just sounded like meatloaf.
Is Scruffy Yo, gonna man, have to choke a bro. Bitch?
Here! Steve takes it from him and examines it for a few seconds. Then he takes Bucky's hand, his smile turning goofy and boyish. Oh, yuck.
Yuck.
I had this big, huge, completely lame speech plan. Probably should have written down somewhere. Steve, are you about to propose or something with a ring pop?
Yes.
Bucky blurts out, his eyes widening with shock. His pulse is off the chart, and all of a sudden, and part of him wishes it never asked that, but the other part of him can't help it. Can't help it because holy shit, is that what's happening? Quickly, Steve's own eyes widen and he squeezes Buck's hands, replying,
"It sounds worse now."
God damn it.
Sorry, I didn't mean. Okay, let me try this again. He takes a deep breath.
Oh, God damn it.
I'm closing that right now. But yes, this. That clears things up, Bucky jokes, still feeling lightheaded from the unexpected rush of adrenaline. How would you get so much adrenaline rush from like just that? What?
Fear.
Yes, fear is the only answer. Steve chuckles quietly. What this means is sort of like a proposal to propose. Because the thing is, I love you. I mean, I'm really fucking crazy stupid about you. I knew I wanted to marry you someday since the first time I met you. You did?
Oh,
gay.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they are, by the technical definition.
Yeah.
I know. That's our Logan.
Crazy, or whatever, but I just knew, Steve says. Thing is, I want to take things slow, do this right, you know? Bucky nods, completely speechless.
You would, wouldn't you?
Steve keeps a stare and then nods too. I want it to be perfect when the day comes that I actually ask you. But I don't see the point in not being honest with you about the fact that I am going to ask you one day. It's going to happen, Buck. So, if you don't want that, you have plenty of time to change your mind. I want that, Bucky whispers. Oh, I want that. God damn it.
Why did he start
He's got tears in his eyes all over again. Steve smiles. Shire? What? Okay. Sheer. Is it really how you write it? Shire?
I don't know if that's actually how it's spelled.
Yeah, it's S-H-I-E-R.
Yeah.
Yeah, Shire, Sheer. Anyway, yeah. Steve's smile is Shire at that, and it's the most precious thing Bucky's ever seen. Okay, great. I'm glad, because, yeah, I want to be super fucking stereotypical with you. A pickly cheesy proposal, like something you'd see in the movies. Big house with a white picket fence and two kids, maybe three.
Yeah, totally. I totally saw that happen in the last Avengers movie. Yo, big house, picket fence, kids, lots of anal reaming.
That was Hawkeye, not a Captain America.
Between two and three kids, you know, it doesn't mean that they're going to be complete, full.
Yeah.
Completed. One of them might be missing an arm or something. Or whatever you wanted, he corrected himself quickly. And a dog. Bucky says, reaching up to hold onto the back of his neck. I want a dog. A dog sounds good.
Well, you could be my bitch.
A German Shepherd. Maybe
that's a bad joke dog. Even for you.
I know.
Yeah, he keeps going. Steve pulls him closer, still smiling as he stares back into Bucky's eyes. Or we can just have more than one dog and get both, he suggests. Crazy dog dudes, Bucky jokes. Like crazy cat ladies. We'll own 500 dogs. Pile them all in our soccer dad van.
I'm pretty sure that's a violation of animal ethics.
It is.
Steve laughs. That sounds like the weirdest future ever. Bucky beams, pulling him in for a kiss. Right before he can, though, Steve pulls back and exclaims, Wait, one sec. Giving him a silly smile, he holds up the ring pocked between them, clears his throat, and asks,
No! Come on!
Okay, so, James Buchanan Barnes, will you be my future fiancé?
Logan.
Thank you.
Oh my god.
Really, we should just end the episode an hour and 10 minutes early on that cliffhanger.
No, we can end it soon.
No.
Just give me a sec.
We're gonna go the whole time.
I see the end of a tunnel!
Shut up!
And it looks like Bucky's rectum!
Shut up! Playing coy, Bucky narrows his eyes and raises a brow, glancing down to the candy offering. Plucking it from Steve's fingers, he looks back up and teases, God, you're such a dork. Or tucking him in, and answering Steve's proposal to propose with a kiss.
Bucky Rogers.
He can't help but think, Bucky Barnes Rogers. Bucky Rogers Barnes.
Run!
All the hyphens.
Runs to the hill.
What's nice about all those options is that no matter which he picks, it'd still be just as perfect. At least he has plenty of time to decide which one he likes best. The thing is, Bucky knows the road ahead won't always be that easy, but he's willing to face it, and that's the point. It's easier knowing he's got Steve to help him get through it, his family too, and his friends. Of course, he'll have his downs just as often as he has ups. Truly, he might have a lot more downs
for a while, yeah.
Maybe even, nope.
He isn't sure where he'll have to start yet, but he will. Everyone starts somewhere. For Bucky, that somewhere is right here, right now, with his best friend kissing him back and a candy ring in his hand that promises a future filled with so much more than he let himself believe he could have. And maybe he still doesn't fully believe he deserves Steve Rogers or his love, but that's okay. In time, once he rediscovers how to properly love himself again, maybe he will. It'll be scary once it's time to face it, but for now, Bucky feels calm, light, hopeful. Maybe he's still dreaming, but if he never wakes up again, that'd be just fine. Possibilities feel endless now, and mountains are so much easier to climb in dreams, after all.
And that's the end.
They unplugged him.
No, we have to keep
and
going.
And they unplugged him. Nope. Because this next chapter, chapter 6, is the epilogue.
Yes.
And we don't gotta read that.
We do have to read the damn epilogue. Front to back, side to side, top to bottom, we gotta finish this.
No, we don't.
Yes, we do. Otherwise, we're gonna be doing the cha-cha slide for the next 2 months.
I'm okay with that.
I'm not.
I'm not.
All right, you gotta finish your page, Logan.
I drank. Ooh, that's good. Chapter 6, epilogues. Bucky stands in the doorway of his room, drying his hair with a towel, and just looking. Get the shit off my page, Steve. He has...
Good damn it, Steve-o.
He has so many memories in this place. He remembers how it originally looked that first summer his parents had bought the place. Fuck. Drinking.
It's clunky it's clunky writing, so I understand why.
Mm. Oh, that's good. Christ, that had been all the way back in 2000. People usually follow that up with a few numbers, but whatever.
Yeah, I was kind of expecting...
Not even like a 2000-0. 15 years seems to have gone by, both incredibly slowly and in the blink of an eye. His first kiss with a girl was at this place. He wanted to burn his own lips off afterwards. Some cute brunette who had been visiting with her family. Bucky was 11, and his palms had been so sweaty. He remembers it being
Mom spaghetti.
Clumsy. Mom spaghetti all over the place.
Mom spaghetti all over the place!
Drinking! Started innocent, but then there was too much tongue.
Dude, you were 11.
All right, dude. That's advanced for an 11-year-old. It might have been her first kiss, too. He can't recall her name, Dick.
Wow, and yeah, that's Dicky.
Yeah, definitely. Like, usually you do remember your first.
I remember everything that has ever happened to me in my life. Can't recall her name, and he doubts that if they passed each other on the street now, that she'd even recognize him.
Still, hey, Logan, can you tell me, what did you have for breakfast exactly 12 days ago?
I did not have breakfast 12 days ago.
Do you ever have breakfast?
I rarely have breakfast.
Okay, I'll think of another question that actually puts your thing to the test.
Get wrecked a stand.
I'll erect a stand. Wait, Erectistan? Is that like a country?
Yeah, it's right next to Iran.
Wow, that's horrible.
Ends the facts, man. Still, he also remembers that it had been nice. Lots of things have happened for him here. It seems to be the place where he always somehow discovers himself in one way or another. After all, this was also the place where he came out to his parents about his sexuality. Right at the campfire after Rebecca and Ben had gone to sleep. Amy hadn't even been born yet. That feels like another first time they pulled up.
No, and you skipped a...
Shit, I missed a line. Yep.
Line.
Feels like another lifetime ago.
He doesn't know what it is about this place for him. Maybe it's because the first time they pulled up and his eyes, still so full of hope, hadn't been dimmed by the weight of the world yet, had widened at the sight of it. His first thought was that this place was magic. It was ingrained into the wood.
It's magic, you guys!
Into
it's magic!
Its very foundation, and that's fucking horse shit, so I'm taking another drink.
Yep.
Mm. Fuck it, I'll go another page.
No, you're not going another page.
I wanna!
It's going. No, it goes back to me, Dick!
Grayson!
Age Protege 12.
Charles
was the first
age,
Robin.
Age 12.
Nixon. Gear.
Age 12.
No, it's page. I'm at page 133.
Age 12.
Age 12. What? 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 No!
He's the page master.
Read! Okay. Fucking read!
I thought you were going to go somewhere with it. All right.
Oh.
Maybe Bucky never stopped believing in its magic.
Oh, I actually won a match. Wow.
Of what?
The Google's Go AI.
It's won multiple matches. What do you mean?
No. Lisa Dahl, the Korean player, won a match off of match.
Oh, okay.
I only got to watch like the first three, so
that's very interesting. But I'd like
it to is. This.
Maybe Bucky never stopped believing in its magic.
You know, yes. It's magic. Never believe
it's not true.
Perhaps he never stopped believing in magic at all.
You're so leprechaun! I'm a leprechaun!
You're so leprechaun! The fucking show.
What he knows is that he can feel the streams of the morning sunlight peering in from the window on his skin. Scruffy was apparently poet laureate.
Yeah, like, why does it have a window on his skin? Like, why do you have windows on your skin?
And though everyone else is already downstairs, it's comfortably quiet, serene. What Bucky knows is that on this day, for this moment, he feels hopeful. Mom spaghetti.
This moment, I'll ever be.
A little scared too, yeah. And maybe also a little sad. In his pants. His bed is made, and he knows it's all in his imagination that it looks a little lonely. But he feels it anyways. It won't get touched again for another year, when Bucky can get the time off to come back. Steve's made sure that Bucky's promised himself of that. In fact, Steve thinks they should try to make a point to start coming back every year, in more ways than one. Bucky thinks that sounds like a perfect idea.
Bucky likes to talk about himself in the third person.
Bucky enjoys the sound of his own inner monologue.
Bucky longs for a time when he wouldn't be judged for his soliloquism.
Suddenly Bucky became John Wayne.
The air
well, Pilgrim.
Well, you can do your next section like John Wayne.
The air mattress is rolled up and leaning against the wall to Steve's bag and Bucky's suitcase, which are packed, sitting off to his right. Harry Potter was a little effeminate.
Damn,
he also wore black lipstick, black eyeliner, white foundation.
We're only in season 3. By the time we're like in the double digits, it's just going to be an amalgam of
nothing but inside jokes.
Exactly.
Yep.
Mom spaghetti.
Dodge
Mom
Caravan.
Spaghetti. Fucking Dodge Caravan.
Dodge Caravan.
All right, so Tony, I don't know if you were here for this, but basically Bucky has a tragic backstory where he got drunk and crashed his parents' Dodge Caravan, with his sister in the car. So now he kept dreaming of the whole part about the Dodge Caravan thing.
Now he has a fear of Dodge Caravans.
Who doesn't?
All right. It's still early. There's breakfast to be had and a few hours to spare before they'll be taking those bags and putting them back into the car. Then they'll hit the road. Back to New York. Back to the real world.
Back to life. Back
street.
Reality.
Back, all right.
Up there goes gravity. Bucky had been regretting this trip with every fiber of his being, and he had a lot of it because he'd been eating Metamucil. But lo and behold, now he can't help but think that it's the best thing that ever happened to him. He just wishes he could have a little bit more of it before he has to let it go.
The Metamucil?
Yeah.
Just, yeah. Not even like stirring it into something, just eating it out of the container with his hands.
I like the
I
dust.
I like to ingest wicker swing sets.
Oh no, my secret shame. Zipping open his suitcase, he finds extra room to shove in his towel before pulling out a fresh shirt to put on. It's still long-sleeved. He actually didn't pack any t-shirts. Not one. But after hesitating for only a few seconds, he finds himself pushing those sleeves up to his elbows. Unless in the privacy of his own apartment, Bucky hasn't worn a shirt like this since before the accident.
I don't wear shirts.
I'll wear shirts. I wear robes. It fills him with anxiety. Of course it does. But he fights the urge to change his mind and tug them back down. Hide himself again.
Look, if he's got anxiety about his shirts, why does he wear a shirt with a Dodge Caravan on it?
I don't know.
Dodge gave me an entire clothing line for the rest of my life in compensation for the accident.
The shitty insurance settlement.
Oh my goodness, where was I?
It feels...
Hide himself again.
Yeah, he's not about to kid himself. He knows that he won't be doing this right away once he's back home. It's not like Buck is miraculously all healed now. Not even close, despite the fact that one of the tags is magical healing cock.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it healed his arm up real good.
It's like a back to tank from Star Wars.
He isn't ready to bear himself like that in public, and he isn't sure how long it'll take for him to get to that point. But this is a baby step he feels he needs to make, and one he's capable.
Baby!
One he's capable of making. Don't make fun of the baby.
Baby!
Don't make baby. Fun of the baby.
Baby!
They're his family after all.
Baby! Oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby.
He trusts them with his life, and he knows there's no need to hide from them. He can smell bacon downstairs.
He's a dog now.
And he decides with a tiny sigh that he should
go.
My
favorite kind of bacon is downstairs bacon.
He should go bacon. And make some Folgers coffee.
Crazy, Logan.
Yeah, I know, right?
Probably get the day started and go join everyone when he walks
in. Wait, are we not doing phrasing again?
Oh, we're always doing phrasing! It's hard to switch in and out of this voice. I need to stay consistent.
When he walks into the kitchen, Becca's the one working on the bacon.
Oh!
Time for some Folgers, baby!
While Steve pours himself a cup of coffee. They both turn to look at him. He notices Rebecca's gaze flicker down to his left forearm, prompting her eyes to widen just the slightest bit. He didn't wash off all the semen before it got sticky. However, just as quickly, she's looking back up to his face.
You're right there.
No, I just had somebody, boning me in the butt with their magical cock and I couldn't speak in actual words.
Oh, okay.
Dave?
Shut up.
If he hadn't seen it, he'd have never even realized she noticed. And to Bucky's surprise, she and Steve exclaim at the same time,
Yep.
I must have the wrong house!
You're ripped.
Bucky blinks, not having expected that at his greeting. Sister! Steve continues trying to prompt him. Excitedly, he strides up to Bucky and pulls him into a hug. Bucky's laugh is muffled against his shoulder. Laughs again when they both teeter slightly from Rebecca joining them and turning it into a group hug.
Tony! Right.
So who do we want me to try? Anything in particular?
You guys have heard me do a lot of my voice. What'd you say,
Dave? Damn it, I forgot to do Scooby-Doo.
I need to try and remember how John went.
Here we go.
I miss you so much.
Oh, so good. So good.
They waited up all night for you, you know. It's a long way from West Africa, Bucky says slowly, still chuckling. This is actually happening right now. Being on the other side for a change makes him see just how weird of a thing this is actually for him and his sister. At the same time, it makes sense.
His family has always been a weird bunch. That's a big part of the reason why Bucky's always fit in so well. Why he loves them. Oh, coffee? Steve and Rebecca over dramatically say at the same time. I brought you something from really far away, Steve asks.
Okay, I think I finally understand what it is John Wayne sounds like. He sounds like one of the people from the Black Lodge who have their voices reversed and then re-reversed.
Oh.
So he's speaking both forward and backward at the same time.
No. But don't you hear it?
No, I know exactly what you mean.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like someone played with the magnetic tape.
Shall I? I can read the rest as a theremin.
No.
I don't think you should do that.
John, I'm kind of getting bored with John Wayne.
You can do whatever you want. I don't care.
Come on, guys. Challenge me here. Let's see.
I can't.
Give me...
David, you pick a voice.
Ooh. I want to hear... Give me PJ's dad from Goof Troop.
All right there, boy.
Perfect.
Let's see here. Really? Becky and Buck, he ask in sync. From there, they recite the rest of the commercial together, as ridiculously and over the top as one could imagine they would. By the time they're breaking out singing, the best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup.
He's slowly going into an Irish accent.
He's also slowly going into the pirate from Lazy Town.
Well, yep.
You see, it's just going to wind up being pirate. Steve's pretending to use the water bottle as a microphone.
Arr, that's Handsome Pete. He dances for nickels.
Porter,
he'll be dancing for Howard.
I'm actually his brother. Handsome Poppy, I dance for nipples.
You dance for...
No, not for nah. It's for nipples.
Nipples, Steve. Nipples.
Nipples and vipples,
Steve's
yes.
Pretending... Yeah, fuck it, I'm just gonna read. Steve's pretending to use a water bottle as a microphone. Rebecca has her eyes squeezed shut while she belts out the tune, and Bucky watches them with a grin. Steve was probably always meant to be a part of his family. He's just as fucking strange as the rest of them.
Anyways, good morning,
Becca says, giving Bucky's shoulder a light shove before running back over to the stove to take the bacon out of the pan.
Morning,
Bucky replies. Steve slides his arm around his waist and gives him a kiss on his Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Morning, babe, he quietly murmurs.
On his Legends of the Hidden Temple?
Yes.
I am Olmec.
Bucky's smile warms as he catches his boyfriend's gaze.
Good morning.
You actually want a cup of coffee?
He asks, turning to the counter to grab the coffee pot. Bucky nods.
Yeah, please.
Alrighty, coming right up. So, I thought after we finish eating, I could run the bags down to the car, if you want it.
Steve asks, glancing over his shoulder to him.
How the movie phone guy.
Because I am as all-American as movie phone. Stand down, Red Skull. Your showtime for pain is at 4:45.
Gold leader standing by.
Steve asks, glancing over his shoulder to him as he pours Bucky a cup. Bucky hides his disappointment at the reminder.
Yeah, that's fine,
he replies, throwing on a smile when Steve finishes making his coffee, just the way he likes it, and taking it from him.
Thanks.
You guys aren't leaving right away, are you?
Yes.
Rebecca.
There's gold in their hills.
Not in these hills. I'm still just a B-cup.
Bucky's I'm talking surprised. About mining for poop.
Ah, those hills. Yeah, there's a steep mine with golden tunnels.
Wow.
He knows his family is likewise just as disappointed that he and Steve are leaving today.
Why? You actually going to miss me for a change?
He teases.
Actually, I just wanted to know how soon I can move my shit into your room. Didn't Mom tell you it's mine now, motherfucker?
Bucky scoffs playfully, rolling his eyes as he takes a sip of his coffee.
Yeah, somehow I doubt that. After everything I've done in that room, there's no way you'd want to sleep in my bed.
From behind her, Steve snorts over a laugh. Rebecca's face gets grossed out as she groans, "Thanks, Brooke. Exactly the mental image I need. You're the best."
People having consensual sex.
She's like, "Oh yeah, I love thinking about my brother getting fucked in the ass,
especially by that all-American cock. You're the best. Appreciate it,
David."
Is it my turn for pain?
It's your turn for pain. It's your turn to go prospecting in them there butt hills.
Yes, the butt hills.
137, 133.
155. 135, yeah, sonny Jim.
So maybe if you split the right difference.
Come on down to the rope to him.
Oh, you know I love you, Bucky Sing Shongs, throwing an arm around or shaking her against him.
He can't decide if he's drunk or sober.
He can't decide if he's drunk or Sean Connery.
Don't worry. Okay, she says, Bucky can hear an unspoken good that clearly follows. He and Steve share a smile. One is just a tad riffle. And then Bucky makes himself useful by setting the table. When everyone eventually piles in and says their good mornings.
Good mornings.
Good mornings.
Good mornings. Good mornings.
You got poop on your teeth.
Notice on their own time that Beck is not covering his arms the way he always does. None of them outright comment on it, and he suspects it's because they know better. Understand how delicate of a thing this is. All at the same time, it overwhelms Bucky. The way they react to it. The Dodge Caravan in the room, ladies and gentlemen. Ben makes the most nonchalant display, only blinking once when his eyes fall down on it. His expression doesn't change, and he keeps on chatting like he's completely unfazed. But Becky doesn't miss the way that when he heads over to the table, her usual spot next to Rebecca, he imagines something Becky can't hear to their sister. Better backs out to him, but from his peripherals, he sees Becca nod, and then wrap her arm around Ben's shoulders to tug him in for a quick embrace.
All right, can you do your Dota commentary voice now?
It's like he grew up a second head or something. Jeez.
A second head. That's right, Tom. They've got both small, emotional smiles turning up the corners of their mouths. Bucky swallows the lump in his throat, casually asking his parents if they'd liked anything to drink. Mark's way of acknowledging it is to whisper under his breath, "Have you, kiddo?" While joining Bucky at the fridge to fish out the container of orange juice. Bucky gets wobbly, smile on awkward, mumbles back, "You too, Dad." When Annie notices, it's a lot harder for her to ask them to mask her initial reaction, which is to cover her mouth with one hand as her eyes well up with tears. Logan, did you just see how immediately Becky's got her got on? Oh,
yeah, 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 yeah.
Becky's own got wet. I saw it, but by then, God. My God. Why, yes, I too am human, right, Logan?
Oh, yes, we are the human people.
We are definitely human and not from Glixnor 7.
No, not Glixnor 7 or 5 for that matter. And we too have skin.
Who would be from Glixnor 5? I mean, really, right? People who drink out of their third mouth. Am I right, Logan?
That is very funny. Also, person with skin.
And also a joke enjoyed by humans.
Because we are also humans. That is why we laugh.
That is right. We laugh because we are humans.
Thank you, Pankor.
You are welcome.
Where were we? Immediately, Bucky's own got wet.
But he doesn't want to make a spectacle of things. He's already feeling exposed, though, as it is. So he... So he just quickly walks up to her and pulls her into a hug, trying to lighten the mood. He forces himself to chuckle and encourages her.
"Come on, Mom. Don't cry on me, please. Come on. It's okay."
"Notice me, Senpai."
"I'm sorry,"
she quickly says a few times, her voice wobbly as some sort of earth scum. Am I right, Logan? And tries to pull everything down.
"I'm just...
pulling back, she takes his face in her hands and nods with understanding.
I'm so proud of you, James. You know that, right?
Of course I do, Mom. I know.
Why's Mommy and Bucket crying?
Amy curiously asks from her seat. Everyone glances to her, then amongst each other, trying to find a delicate way to put it.
I'm just a little sad that he's going back home today, sweetie.
Annie answers, quickly swiping her eyes and then sharing a soft chuckle with Bucky.
I'm just gonna miss him, is all.
Are you gonna miss me, Peanut?
Bucky asks, making his voice cheery as he goes and takes his seat next to Steve. He's actually glad that she interjected. As touched as he is by Mother's reaction, he doesn't want his last few hours with them to be emotional like that. Ha! No, he isn't ready for it. He needs to take things in the tiniest of baby steps. Luckily, Annie understands, and when she joins him, them only a few seconds later, her tears have been wiped away, and she looks perfectly fine. She just has a permanent smile on her face, which Bucky likes to see. Dots, dots, dots.
So offensive of Krangor. Beautiful.
Yes, what do you want, host of FNF?
Oh my goodness. All right, moving on, Val, it's your turn.
Oh, okay. Amy insists that she'll miss Bucky the moistest, which prompts the two of them to go back and forth, arguing who will miss who more. Bucky eventually lets Amy win, as he always does, and then the family falls into normal conversation while they enjoy their meal together for the last time during this trip. That was a long sentence. Beneath,
I like how that's the only thing you can say about it.
Yeah. Beneath the table, Bucky's got his fingers threaded with Steve's again, his bare left forearm resting atop of Steve's right. Whenever they look to each other, Bucky can see the pride in Steve's baby blues, matching the little loving smiles he shoots Bucky's way. Whenever they say baby blues, I can't help but think of, like, baby socks.
What is that? Who's playing with your sweet joy?
It's me hyperventilating.
This is not the edging Christian show that Totally Reese of Austin is. No kazoos.
Are you having fun?
Yes.
Are you having a stroke?
Yes. Are you having a fun stroke?
Right. The kids handle the dishes, with the exception of Rebecca, since she helped cook. Bucky lifts Amy off the ground and keeps her up so she can wash the dishes, and then hands them to Steve, who actually washes them properly. Bans on drying duty. Oh, okay. When Bucky's arms get tired, he plops his little sister onto the counter so he can take over and get... they can get the job done faster. I lost the line.
Oh, no, for a second I thought I was saying, and get wrecked!
That's you. She notices his arm, reaches over with her pudgy hand. Oh, but she's like 7. How is she pudgy?
She can be fat. It's not uncommon for small children to have.
If Michelle Obama is to be believed, then that's an epidemic.
Excuse you?
Are you on the street? Because it sounds
maybe
on the street.
Maybe in Quebec we're all malnourished, but none of the people in you around kindergarten and such had pudgy ends.
It's seriously pretty common for people that age to still have baby fat. You know that, right?
Well, I didn't really know anyone with baby fat.
Baby fat.
I was very fat. I was an ugly child.
I know you were fat. You fat, fat baby.
I accelerated quick. I wasn't expecting that amount of fervor behind I knew you were fat. That was really, really powerful.
Like, my family, none of the babies are fat, so we're all tiny fuckers.
I'm a fat baby.
Tiny little fuckers.
I'm a fat baby. What's the fucking Adventure Time song about fat babies?
Oh my goodness.
I remember an article in like People magazine from like 1991 that said, "Do chubby babies become fat?" And I was like 6 at the time, so I was like, "Oh shit, that mean I'm gonna be fat when I get older?"
There's a whole lot of typing and not a whole lot of reading.
Yeah,
I'm a
what is up,
baby? That can dance like a man. I can shake in my fanny. I can shake in my can. I'm
Thank
a tough
you.
Tooting baby who can punch in your buns. Punch in your buns. I can punch on your buns. If you're an evil witch, I will punch you for fun.
Thank you, Tony. Awesome.
Thank you, Finn Thank the you. Human.
She notices his arm, reaches over with her pudgy hand, and touches it, making Bucky freeze. She's been born shortly before the car accident, so the men Bucky's been over the last 6 years is literally the only version of Bucky she's ever known over the course of her short life.
I've never seen my brother's arm. I don't have object permanence, so I didn't know it was there either.
She's never seen his arm like this before.
The entire time.
They've always been covered. Every single time he's been around her. When she asks why he looks like that, referring to the scar tissue, tissues and an attractive discoloration that blotches around the skin and patches. Bucky
says
looks-
I was a stunt double for Steve Buscemi in Fargo.
Bucky looks between Steve and Ben uncertainly. They look just as unprepared. Steve starts, still looking at Bucky. From the tone of his voice, Bucky can tell the gears are spinning in his head, and Steve's trying to think of the simplest answer she can get. One that won't necessarily scare her.
Is that
before
it?
He has a Before he has the chance, Bucky's brotherly instincts take over and gives her a warm smile, explaining, "Well, I got a boo-boo. A really bad boo-boo. Way back when you were just a baby."
Hey, strong man. I has some small questions for you. How has you seen out when you was a baby?
How are you thinks you will see out when you are very old?
Viklas, Sweden. Oh, really? Couldn't tell you weren't from around here.
She frowns, clutching his arm with her tiny hand a bit harder. "Does it hurt?" she asks, sounding protective, like she could somehow do something to help her adult brother if his answer turned out to be yes. Steve and Ben chuckle, and so does he. "No, sweetie, it doesn't," he says reassuringly. "It was a long time ago. My arm's always gonna look like this, but it just looks like it hurts, okay? Doesn't actually hurt. Come here." Scooping her up, she wraps her legs tightly around his back as he walks her out of the kitchen, thinking it might be best for her to be with their parent while the boys finish the dishes. On the way from the kitchen to the back patio, where he knows they're sitting and enjoying the sunshine for a few minutes, Amy keeps trying to twist the side to look down at Bucky's arm.
Twist and shout.
Twist and shout.
Shake it a baby now.
Shake it a baby. Don't shake the baby. It's bad.
Oh man, you can write
that child. Kill that child.
You can write an entire like senior thesis.
Oh, beautiful. So he tightens his.
Shut up, you. It's great.
So he tightens his grip on her with his right arm and lets go with the left, lifting a little so she can take his wrist back in her hand. The way she touches it delicately makes Bucky's eyes go wet again. God damn it. Then he realizes she's mumbling something and it makes him stop in the middle of the hallway, staring down at her with furrowed brows.
Angry four brows!
Four buckets.
Or... Logan, I think you can close this out for today.
Yeah. Poor bucket. She's repeating in a soothing little tone. She's trying to comfort the arm itself. He strokes his outer forearm with one hand and tells it, "You're all better now. It's okay. Poor ouchie, you're okay now."
That's fucking amazing. I don't give a shit.
Then she peers up at her big brother and surprises him by reaching up with both hands and grabbing his face. Then she does a cool Mortal Kombat fatality.
Babality.
Babality. Drinking.
You win. Buckality.
No.
Sexality.
Then she peers up at her hands press against his cheeks, making his lips purse a little. And she stares at him without blinking and tells him, "I still think you're beautiful." Dropping her hands, she throws her arms around his neck and leans in, giving him a hug. Bucky's breath catches in his throat.
No, she doesn't hug that hard.
She's literally choking the life out of him. Pressing his lips into a tighter line, he wraps his left arm back around her and hugs her close.
Tony, what were you about to say?
To try and ward off any more tears.
I said, "I am the Winter Soldier."
Hey guys, are you ready for my LARP session today? I'm gonna be the Winter Soldier.
I'm the Winter Soldier, guys. Stop making fun of me, please.
Oh no, I fell down and got a boo-boo.
I got an ouchie. The winter soldier needs the time to change.
Not the paper airplane.
Oh, no! And not the touch cannon!
Now, to be fair, LARPing is pretty awesome. I am just hammering in a negative stereotype.
Oh, dude, like, I've done the LARPing where you go out in the field and hit each other with swords. That's just awesome.
Yeah!
The padded swords?
They are padded until one person, namely myself, swings hard enough to break them over people by accident.
Hard man.
Whoops.
Oops.
When he blinks, they fall away. Anyways, sorry. Drinking.
It's all right.
Thank you. He whispers, trying to keep his voice from cracking. For a few minutes, he stays like that, right there in the hallway, hugging his baby sister to him, and knowing in his heart that she must really believe that, even if he doesn't.
Jinkies.
Jinkies.
Jinkies!
Jankles.
Jinking, got it.
Oh, great, now I have Jankles on the mind.
Why would you say my name over and over again? Bingo, bango, bongo, I don't want to leave the Congo.
He winds up hanging outside with his parents for longer than he intends to. They keep the conversation light, save for the odd injury here and there that...
No, not injury.
It's fuck. This is... I'm drinking straight from the bottle, by the way.
I can hear that.
Save for the odd inquiry here and there that Annie will slip in... When's Annie again? Is this mom?
Annie is... Yeah, this is mom. Her.
We'll slip in where she subtly asks about what Bucky's plans are once he's going back in New York.
See, you know, when are you going to have kids? When are you going to have kids with your gay boyfriend? God, when am I going to have grandkids?
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 Grandkilts?
Grandkilts
from the shores kilts. Of the old.
I'm curious as to when you and that gay boyfriend of yours are going to start squirting up little ones, and I don't just...
Oh my god, Tony, you need to read one more page after Logan and do it like that.
All right, then.
All right. And then I want to hear David try and fail at that. Kilts.
Bucky finds himself answering, I'm thinking about quitting at the firm, before he even thinks about saying it. He quickly catches himself by backtracking, adding that he isn't sure yet, or even when he'd do it. Fuck you. Because he doesn't currently have a backup plan. To his relief, all his mom does is squeeze his hand with a smile and assures him, well, honey, unless you want us to pay for your crippling college debt from going to law school, you better get that fucking job. Whatever you do, we'll support you. You can do anything you want, Mark reminds him. Even if you turned around one day and say, wanted to be part of the traveling circus.
Or Bucky turn laughs. Around bright eyes.
Bright eyes.
Every now and then you get a metal arm.
As the call descends into chaos.
Right, because there's so many hidden talents I have that would be useful for something like that. But you could show him Big Scar, dude. They think on it with amusement. After a half dozen seconds, Mark breaks the silence with world's tallest midget.
Awful!
Bucky's giant.
World's shortest giant. Bucky starts laughing again, jokingly saying that he'll keep that in mind. He knows what they mean, though. Knowing he's got them behind him is comforting. He refuses outright talking about things like counseling or psychiatric evaluations or the like. For a handful of reasons, namely because he hasn't even voiced those thoughts out loud yet, let alone discuss them with other people. And he already knows that the first person he's going to want to talk about it once he gets the nerve to is Steve. Fucking shit, that sentence was a mess.
Yeah, like some of those are like,
Steve first, then his parents, eventually. It's still a little too daunting to put a timeline on that yet. What he does promise them before heading in is that he'll do a better job at staying in touch and visiting.
Oh, well, I'm sure that you'll Skype us or, you know, Facebook or whatever.
And that he'll keep them updated on his life. Even though what that means goes unspoken, a part of him can't help but suspect that they'll have an idea. If the appreciative look in his mom's eyes is anything to go by.
Hey, Mom, I just took a big shit. Steve read me out real good last night, so it came out really easy.
It's nice and frosted, too.
Anybody order a glazed tart?
Specialty of the Winter Soldier.
Shit.
I call it my snowflake.
When he runs because the it's... corner.
Stop!
No more!
He finds himself talking quietly. Fuck, I'm drinking.
We're the worst.
We're the best.
We're the best. It's
the best or us.
I'm the best.
The best or us worst.
I'm the best. I'm the best.
Man, you got half a paragraph. Come on, you can do it.
I'm stretching this out. This fic will never end.
Oh, fuck. It seems to be a lighthearted conversation. Steve's got the faintest of smirks, and his sister's right in the middle of rolling her eyes. Oh, catches Bucky's attention, though, is the fact that he catches them right as Becca's...
Shut up! God damn it!
Oh, God. I almost choked on my drink.
And John Cena.
The fact that he catches
we're too drunk
right,
for this.
Right as Becca appears to be slapping a $10 bill into Steve's open palm.
Take it away, Tony.
I mean it. Take this away from me. Take it away now.
It's a very fast moment. As quickly as he sees them, they see him. Immediately. Rebecca's straightening and stuffing her hands into her pockets, making her face go blank. Steve closes his fist around the money nestled in his hand and flashes Bucky his infamous million-dollar smile, casually saying, "Hey, Buck." Bucky narrows his eyes. Lifting a hand, he gives a suspicious smile and shakes his head. "Oh, no, 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 don't hey, Buck, me. What was that about?
Your magical
what
cock.
What was what about?" Steve asks innocently with a shrug, but Bucky can see it in his boyfriend's eyes. He's smacked. My monitor just went dark. Hold on a moment.
Even your computer's getting bored of the story.
I'm pretty sure I'm sitting there going, you know what? I've had enough of this shite. All right, here we go. Where was I? What was what about? Steve asks innocently with a shrug. Another fucking shrug. Can this man do anything other than that with those magnificent shoulders? But Bucky can see it in his boyfriend's eyes. His smile. Steve knows exactly what Bucky's talking about. And he's only making so much of an attempt to hide it. Yeah, Buck, what are you talking about? Rebecca adds from behind the blonde. Why'd you give your money? Why'd you just give him money? Bucky presses,
she works
looking
so
from
hard
Steve
for the
to
money.
His sister.
So hard Bucky.
For it, honey. She works hard for that money, so she's gonna give it to Steve. Steve glances at Rebecca and gives her a look, like Bucky has two heads. Before striding past Bucky, sticking to his act. What money? He asks, really laying the obliviousness on thick. I have absolutely no idea what you're talking about. Uh-huh, Bucky replies flatly, watching him go. Where are you going exactly? Running away from the scene of the crime is damning evidence, you know. Steve spins around and continues to backstep as he throws his arms up into a grander shrug, smiling charmingly. Fuck, he's so goddamn cute. He explains... Eh, not my fault that your brother challenged me to one last round of Mario Kart. I promised. Mm-hmm. Sure. Bucky says, unable to keep from sprouting a lopsided smile. The perfect alibi. You know the reason that smile is lopsided? Grand Caravan.
Edgar hit.
Steve winks. His smile flashing from...
Steve winks because his brain is hurting from the story. Bucky tries to wink back, but due to the Dodge Caravan accident, it's just a wink on one side that's very mistimed.
His smile flashing into something a little bit more intimate. Bucky's smile, the one reserved only for when Steve looks at him. Then he turns back around and disappears around as he rounds the corner into the living room. Listen, it's a lot of R's very quickly and it's difficult for me to do since this is not my native tongue. Bucky can hear him strike up a conversation with Bane, so he looks to his sister and sets his sights on her. Immediately, she lifts her hands and feigns naivety when she deflects. Hey, don't look at me! Bucky crosses his arms and leans his back to the counter's edge. They play a staring contest for several drawn-out seconds, trying to see whose poker face will crumble first. What? Becca breaks. Bucky's response is to huff out an unconvinced breath from his nose and quirk his mouth again, Caravan, shaking his head and giving her a look that replies, "Really?" He can tell by the look on her face. Now, baby, he can't tell by the way she looks on her face that she's growing tired of the charade. Sure enough, she rolls her eyes again before averting them away, but her lips are also pursed into a small smirk too, exhaling and letting her shoulders drop. She places her hands on her hips and she says, "You really want to know? Want to know?" Yeah, Bucky answers, like the true mature adult he is. She nods to herself just a couple of times, to his surprise. Then she tips her head toward the open door frame and says, "Come down to the lake with me." "The lake?" Bucky repeats, tonelessly. "I'm sorry." "The lake," Bucky repeats, tonelessly. Jokingly, he adds, "It's too late for me to go for a swim, Squirt. My shirt's already packed up." Rebecca shoves his arm, still adoring that tiny smirk that Bucky can't quite figure out. "Seriously, fucktard. We can sit down on the dock. It's more private."
Oh no. They've been teasing the Folgers the whole time. Are they finally going to deliver? Next time on Dragon Ball Z.
I believe you mean next
time. Are we going to even finish this fic?
Yeah, we're going to finish it. We'll finish it next week. We'll be done.
That's why I was... You said next time on Dragon Ball Z. No. That's what I was...
Next time on Friday Night Fan Fiction.
Are we going to finish the fic?
Thank you, Tony, for joining us. And thank you to all the co-hosts and Val and everybody. And especially you, the listeners, because...
You can thank Logan and David, too.
Yeah, that'd be nice if you would thank me.
Thank you, Dogen and Lavin.
Sorry, you know who I want to thank? Dragon Ball Z, Z, Z.
Oh, I thought you were going to say John Cena.
No, Dragon Ball Z, 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 Z.
That's so bad.
Don't go on. Dragon Ball Z, 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 Z.
Anyways, thank you, Logan and David. And of course, you, the fans. Next time, we finish season 3.
You sound so excited.
Oh god, it's a Dodge Caravan!
Yo, hey Steve, you want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Sure.
There we go. Doritos.
It's like you're eating a hamster.
Oh my god!
Why are you eating a hamster?
Why are you playing with a squeaky toy?
It's not a squeaky toy. It's the inflator for my exercise ball.
Oh, it's your penis inflator.
Hi there. Thanks for listening to Friday Night Fan Fiction. Be sure to check out FridayNightFanFiction.com, where you can sign up to be a guest on the show, submit fanfictions for us to read, and join our Discord server to hang out with us. All backing music used in Friday Night Fanfiction is available via Overclocked Remix at ocremix.org. Be sure to check them out for over 3,000 fan arrangements and 60 fan arrangement albums of free video game music. Ending credits music, Koopa Nova by Diodes. Opening musical credits, Deforestation by Thunder Thoen, and Castlemania 2010 by Ben Briggs. We hope you enjoyed listening to this, and we'll catch you next episode.